Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. Hey, everybody, it's Isaiah 50. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 50. And we'll look a couple, several places actually tonight. I may have tried to maybe bit off more than I could chew tonight, but that's all right. Isaiah 50 and verse number 7. About the principles and of biblical character. I like Isaiah 50 and 7. I think there's three things from this that we can draw from that will help us to understand the importance of being determined. I think that is a characteristic that many people lack this day and age, is to, having a determination and a grit about what God has called them to do, and what God wants out of their life, and how to approach things. The Bible says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Now, there is a parallel verse with this in Luke 9 and 51. And I'll tell you why here in just a minute, so you might want to put your finger between the two. It says, "It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In the Bible, in Isaiah 50 and 7, he says, "Therefore I have I set my face like a flint." Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Help us, if to be anything, help us to be a determined people. We're going to fall, we're going to fail, we're going to mess up, but help us refuse to stay down. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see your plan and realize, God, that you are still God, you still reign, and regardless what happens, we're not going to fret because we're on the winning side. We have victory in the Lord Jesus. So help us to have that perspective in life. And with that, may we understand we just need to be determined in your plan, in your will, and whatever you called us to do, we will succeed. Help us not to measure ourselves with others and what we think we ought to measure up to, but God, help us to see that we need to please you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the text in Isaiah 50 is what we call a messianic text. It's a passage speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus during his first advent. In fact, if you look back, you'll find that in this passage, a lot of it deals with the persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ and him heading to the cross. Now, what's amazing is you come to Luke chapter number 9, verse 51. This is Jesus' final approach to Jerusalem. This was going to be his last trip. And he knew that he was going to be abused. He knew that he was going to be mocked. He knew he was going to be crucified. But the Bible says that he set his face toward Jerusalem. Think about that. Now, Isaiah 50 and 7 is describing the same thing as Luke 9 and 51. And in Isaiah 50 and 7, it didn't say he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, but rather he set his face as a flint. Think about that. He set his face, "I've set my face like a flint." Jesus was determined to go to the cross for us. He was determined. Let me say this, that when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, some people say when he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me," some people have the idea that Jesus was praying and asking the Lord to remove, if there be any way possible, "I don't have to go to the cross." That wasn't it at all. Jesus, in eternity past, he had determined and in holy counsel with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit that one would go and one would die for sins. That's the reason he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason he came into the world. I believe the demons of hell was trying to kill Jesus in the garden. And I believe they pressed upon him, and he was praying, "Let this cup pass. Let it pass." His reason for coming was to go to the cross. So there, by no means was he trying to get out of the cross. So when he said, listen, his prayer was a prayer. He was determined to complete the plan of redemption. Now, you'll find that when Peter confronted Jesus, when Jesus said, "Listen, I'm going to be slain. Evil men are going to take me." What did Peter say? "Not so, Lord. I'll not do it. I'll go to the grave. I'll go down fighting." In fact, they showed up. He took a sword and he cut that fellow's ear off. I want to say to you, he wasn't aiming for his ears, aiming for his head. Peter meant what he was saying to the Lord Jesus, right? But what did Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan." Because even in Peter's good intentions, he's trying in a way to hinder him from doing what Jesus was determined to do. And it was to go to the cross. Jesus knew what needed to be done. And so, you see here, here's the basis of our determination. Three things we'll see from this, and I'll give you several illustrations. But the basis of our determination is Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. That's reason enough to be determined in this life. Now let me say this. If the Lord is our help, we should be determined to finish whatever God's called us to do. Whatever it is. If we understand, He's the one that has our back. Whatever He's called us to do. Listen, I want you to understand that's why we can do it. Because He's the one that helps us do it. Man, it's good to jump in a job and you think I can't do it. Then a buddy shows up and suddenly he's like, man, this got a lot easier. Let me tell you, everything God's called us to do, He is with. He is our help. He will give us strength for everything to do. Now, I've heard people say, well, you need to be stubborn. Let me tell you, there's a difference between stubborn and determination. Determination is a firm reliance upon God. But being stubborn is a resistance to God. God don't want us to be stubborn. God wants us to be determined. And that is to be relying upon Him. And so, not only do we see the basis of this determination, but I want you to notice the benefit of this determination. Because He says, for the Lord God will help me, but not only that, therefore shall I not be confounded. That is the benefit. He says, I shall not be confounded. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, what that word confounded means that not going to get angry, not going to get flustered, not going to get annoyed, not get baffled to the point you say, I can't do it, and you quit. Just frustration. He said, I'll not be confounded. Listen, the basis is the Lord's my help, the Lord's my strength. But here's the benefit of it is this, that I'm not going to be confounded because I know who my God is. And so with that understanding, we should be able to do whatever God has called us to do, period. And so I want you to understand that, listen, the Bible, it makes it very clear that God, if God be for us, in the book of Romans 8 and 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, if He's not going to be confounded, whatever God's called Him to do, whatever His goal is, whatever God's plan is, He is able to accomplish that. Now, we live during a time that too many people quit too soon. Do we not agree? It's easy to just quit. Easy to just get mad. So that's it. Or easy just to say, I'm flustered, get confounded. I know preachers that do it. I know people that work in churches and in youth ministries. It's easy to get confounded. You have to start dealing with a bunch of children. Amen? It is. And sometimes dealing with mom and dad, you can get confounded. I mean, it's just easy in life. Whether it's teaching a Sunday school, whether it's even going to church, trying to witness. But it's easy to get flustered. But listen to me, I want you to understand that if you don't have determination, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to be a quitter. Someone that is not got grit and determination, they will quit. You mark her down. Proverbs 24:16 tells us, a just man what falleth seven times and riseth again. He falls, he gets up. Falls, he gets up. Falls, he gets up. Gets knocked down, he gets up. And sometimes it may seem he's down more than he's up, but I'll tell you the good thing is, he keeps getting up. He refuses to stay down. Now the problem is, some people fall one time, and go, oh, that's too difficult, that's too hard, I'm not going to get up. Listen, I tell you what you do. A child takes off walking, they fall. That's what they do. You pick them up, say, do it again. Right? Child takes off riding a bike. They fall, you pick them up, say, do it again. You don't quit. And eventually it becomes easier and easier. Let me just tell you something in this life. We ought to refuse to stay down. If you can't stay up, then don't stay down. If you can't stay on your feet, don't stay on your back. Keep getting up like a boxer refuses to lose. Now, I want to say this to you, that none of us are perfect, and we're going to mess up. We're going to do things that we're going to say, man, I can't believe I've done that. But the truth of the matter is that a just man falleth. Now, notice a just man. This ain't a wicked man, a just man. That's a saved man. He falls. He falters, but he gets up. He gets up. Now, and you say, what are you saying by that? Here's what I know. If a just man falleth, guess what? None of us are perfect. None of us are going to be able to get through this life without falling, without messing up, without doing something. But the key is, we don't stay down. We keep getting up. And so I want you to understand that since we're not perfect, that you know what's going to have to work in this world? Determination from God's people. We've got to be determined in this thing. Everyone wants an easy path. Everybody wants it to be smooth sailing. Everybody wants everything just to go perfect. They want the perfect situation. Some people are looking for the perfect job with the perfect boss, perfect benefits, the perfect hours. Got news for you. Probably not going to find that. Like preachers say, I want to find a perfect church, perfect situation. You probably ain't going to find it because there ain't none. Amen? There ain't none. So what are you saying? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says this, that God giveth the victory. Let me just tell you, if we get our victory, think about victory, God giveth the victory. It didn't say that God giveth tranquility, that God giveth peace, that God gives us, smooth sailing. It said God gives the victory. Now, you say, what are you saying to that, Brother Grant? I want you to understand the problem is today that we need to understand the word victory indicates conflict. If me and you are playing a basketball game, we're going at each other. There's conflict. Right? I mean, we want to get it. And so, if you watch a football game, that's a conflict with 22 guys on the field, amen. And you got the generals on the sideline, you got the corporals on the sideline, and you got the lieutenants on the sideline calling in plays and watching what's happening. I mean, it's a battle, amen. But I got news for you. There's a conflict, but what makes it so sweet when there's victory? They don't all go out there and say, all right, you scored a touchdown, now we're going to let you score a touchdown. We want this thing to go smooth. The truth of the matter is that the Christian life is not smooth sailing. You can't have victory unless there's opposition. You can't have victory unless there's a conflict. And the problem is we don't want victory oftentimes in our life. Why is that? Because it requires conflict in our life. And to get through that conflict, you've got to be determined. If you're serious about living for the Lord, there's going to be conflict. That's just the way it is. There's got to have raw determination. But God has promised this, that we will have victory if we don't quit. So it takes determination. And I believe a lot of people quit way too soon trying to serve God. And listen, I don't never like to lose. But, I've been playing. I've coached Little League football games. We've been getting beat about 40, 50 points. There's times I felt bad for the kids. I wish I could just go hide under the bleachers or something. Amen. But you know what? And people say, man, I can't believe that team done to you. We know it's our job to stop them from scoring. Right? Now, I don't like anybody doing that. And I wouldn't do that to another team, but there's guys that will. But I just say it's our job to stop them scoring. We didn't do a good job, and the coach didn't do a good job. And, a lot of people just want to blame the kids. But the truth of the matter is that, listen, I want you to understand that there is going to be conflict. That's just the way things roll. But I tell you what, I've seen some guys be getting beat like a dog. And you know what they do? They walk off the field with their team. I finish the game. You beat me, I ain't going to say quit. You finish the game. It is what it is. Listen, I want you to understand, you stay with it. You show some determination. You show some grit. Nobody's a failure because they fail. They're a failure because they quit. So we see the basis of our determination is the Lord God. He's with us. The benefit of this, you're not going to be confounded. You're not going to want to quit if you understand that. But I want you to see the third thing here, that the boldness of this determination. He said, therefore have I set my face like a flint. Now, think about that. That speaks of the toughness there. You know what happens every time you strike flint? What happens? You get sparks. How many of you ever tried to start a fire as a kid using two arrowheads or two flintstones? Not like Fred and Barney, but flints. Anybody besides me do that? I've done that many times. How many ever succeeded? You succeeded? All I did was just beat those rocks to death. And I remember just getting them in the room, turn off lights, my cousins, watch this. And I was hoping, accidentally I'd catch something on fire, but it never happened. That's just, I don't know, I tried. Listen, flints, it's pretty interesting, but every time you strike a flint, guess what? It puts off new fire. Think about this. He said he set his face like a flint. You know what flint does? It thrives with conflict. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He set his face toward Jerusalem. It wasn't easy, but he was determined. He was determined. May I say to you, if we want to be like the Lord Jesus, we've got to have some determination in our life. You can't just lay down. You can't just quit. Every obstacle, every problem, every adversity. Listen, you know what it is? We ought to be like flint. It just gives us new fire. Gives newfound determination. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and you can look there, but go ahead and turn your Bible over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible tells us in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Now it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, a lot of the resurrection, here's what he's saying. We're going to have victory. We're going to overcome. But not only that, he said, because of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Do you see that? Now, it doesn't say always abounding in results, always abounding in successes or prosperity. That's another denomination that teaches that. But always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're to be steadfast. Think about that. Always abounding. And the problem is sometimes people get so hung up on statistics, hung up on what everybody else says is success, that they forget what we're really to be abounding in. What we're really to be abounding in is the work of the Lord, what God has called us to do. So we have the basis. Yes, God's with us. God is with us. We have the benefit. We're not going to be confounded. But here's the boldness. If we set our face like a flint, if we have some grit and we have some determination, let me tell you, and we're focused on what God has called us to do and not what everybody else, and we're not worried about impressing everybody else, but rather doing what God has called us to do, I want you to understand we will have victory in our own personal life. Now, people all the time come along, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. It amazes me of all people that say it can't be done. And there's a poem, and I like this. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but with a chuckle replied, that may be, it couldn't. But he would be one that wouldn't say it so till he tried. So he buckled in with a trace of a grin, and if he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled a thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. You know why he did it? Because he had some determination. Let me just tell you, people tell you, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. If God's called you to do it, there's nothing that God hasn't called you to do or nothing God's ever asked you to do that you can't do. Why? Because why? I'll tell you what, the basis of it, the Lord's our strength. And you say, what's the benefit of it? Well, the benefit is this, that the Lord's our strength. We know that. We're not going to be confounded. We just need the boldness to set our face as a flint. Now, you say, what is determination? Thomas Edison was working with one of his colleagues. You know, Thomas Edison had over 1,100 patents. Think about this, 1,100 patents. But he was working along with one of his colleagues, and they tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. His colleague was getting upset after myriads and myriads of failures. And Thomas Edison said to him, said, listen, we've not failed. We know 1,000 things that won't work. So we're that much closer to success. Man, think about that. If you had that kind of determination. I mean, grit, determination. Listen, I want you to understand determination is not dependent upon what other people do. I like what Joshua, you know, he said, listen, choose you whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. Joshua said, listen, here's what you ought to do. You ought to serve the Lord, but I don't care what you do or you do or you do. Here's what we're going to do. He didn't wait around to look, see what Roger Ayers doing. He didn't look to see what Joseph is doing. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm determined. You all can go back and serve them other gods if you want to. You see, with that, determination is the ability to never lose sight of what God's plan is in your life. It's God focus and not self focus. Now, there's several passages that regard determination, raw grit determination in the Bible. And I think they're great examples. And I don't know if I have time to get through them. I think I wrote seven. And I could preach every one of them. So I'll try to be fast. But you go back to the Bible and you'll find that Paul, in Acts chapter number 21, turn there with me. I think it's a great example. In Acts chapter number 21, verse number 11, the Bible says, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, a man by the name of Agabus, a prophet, and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and said, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's determination, is it not? The Bible said he would not be persuaded, they ceased. The will of the Lord be done. You'll find also in the previous chapter when he was with the elders at Ephesus, in verse number 23, he says this about, and you see his determination in serving. He says, Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, Bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Paul was not going to be deterred because of problems. You live your life, you're going to have problems. Now you can sit around and whine about them, you can go on. Now let me say this, you find Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, you know the story. Joshua 14 verses 10 through 14. Caleb was with Joshua, one of the two spies that said, Guess what, we can take the land, let's go possess it at once. God showed me what's mine inheritance and I want it. I want that big old mountain up there. You remember that? And Caleb went to battle with Joshua 45 years later when they come back into the promised land. And he comes to Joshua and you said, You remember what God promised me? Now you remember because of their disobedience, they had to wander in the wilderness 40 years. That generation had to die off save Joshua and Caleb. But 45 years later, Caleb remembered what God promised him. He had his eyes on what God promised. He knew what God's plan was. He knew what God wanted to do. And so you'll find in that passage, he says, Listen, I'm just as strong today as I was 45 years ago. I'm just as aimed. Why I'm strong? Because God is with me. See, that's the basis of his determination. And you see the benefit of that determination. Listen, he wasn't going to be confounded. He wasn't going to get flustered by all those naysayers. He wasn't going to get flustered by all the people that said that it'll never happen. And he watched person after person die for 40 years. And they weren't confounded. He didn't give up. He knew what God's plan was. He said, I'm going to do it. And so he set his face like a flint. And you see the boldness of that determination. He said, Give me this mountain. And Joshua said, Go take it in that passage. You know what he did? He went and took it. 85 years old. Man, think about that grit. Amen. You find Jacob, he wrestled with an angel all night in Genesis 32, 24 through 28. The angel said, Turn me loose. Well, he said, Not unless you bless me. Oh, and he did. And guess what? The angel touched him. And guess what? The sinew of his hip, it shrunk. And he walked with a limp the rest of his life. God altered him. God changed him. But yet, you see, that determination cost him. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be determined for God, it's not easy. Sometimes it costs you. And so that's what Jacob was willing to do. You'll find in Luke chapter number 18, there was a widow went to an unjust judge. Luke 18 verses 1 through 8, and she began to aggravate him and said, Listen, avenge me. He said, Go away. We ain't got time for this silliness. I have bigger fish to fry. He thought he was too important for her. But you know what she did? She kept coming back. He said, Avenge me. Now, I don't know, but I imagine in my mind this fellow probably went out to eat lunch, and guess what? She showed up standing there at the table. Avenge me. Think about that. And the next day he goes to his office. Guess what? She's first one there. Avenge me and my adversary. And finally he's like, You know what? I don't care about this woman. But she's driving me crazy. And he was unjust. He didn't care. He said, I'm going to take care of this for her because if I don't, she's going to keep on coming and driving me nuts. You know what it was? She had determination. You'll find another man in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11, Jesus was teaching him to pray. And by the way, that was a teaching about prayer and persistence and determination of asking prayers, what that whole thing illustrated. But another one, Luke chapter number 11, there's a fellow who went to bed one night, had all his family in bed and the animals probably in the house. And his buddy started knocking on the door, said, Lend me three loaves. He said, Go away, we're all in bed. What'd he do? He kept knocking at the door, said, Lend me three loaves. He said, Go away. He kept knocking, said, Lend me three loaves. And he said, Go away. And he kept knocking, said, Lend me three loaves. He said, Fine. Because of his incontinency, I think the Bible says. You know what he did? He was so determined, he knew he might as well get up and answer it. Let me tell you, we get prayers answered by determination. I believe sometimes we just may miss out on in a striking oil because we give up too soon. Nehemiah went to build a wall, and guess what? He had trouble from within. He had trouble from out, Sanballat and Geshem and They stood out there and mocked him and said, a fox ran across that thing. It'd tumble down. But you know what he did? He kept working. Kept working. And they finished the work because God was with them. Let me tell you, any person here tonight can fulfill the will of God in their life and do what God's called them to do when we realize we need to be determined. When we refuse, we get knocked down, we keep getting up. You say, I'm on my back more than I am on my feet. I don't care. Just refuse to stay on your back. Keep getting up. Keep serving. Be determined. Listen, if you're determined, I promise this, you can accomplish anything that God has called you to do and be anything that God's called you to be. But you see, that's what it takes. It takes raw grit. And you say, why can I do that? Because the Lord's my strength. I'll not be confounded, and I'll set my face like a flint. You know what it's all about? It's about who our God is. Because we are weak. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anything, and by the way, that ain't talking about winning a football game or a basketball game or putting it on, and it's fine. They don't put on your shoes, that's fine. I'm not going to, but it's talking about living the Christian life. Do anything God has called us to do and to be. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. I pray that you would just challenge us from your word, that we might be a people that says whatever you have called us to do, that's what we're going to do. We know the basis is our strength in you. We know the benefits of it. And God, we, as your people, we know that we ought to be bold in doing what you've called us to do. And Father, I'm thankful that you are always with us. You always give us strength when we need it, and courage of heart. I pray that you would help us tonight to be a people determined. Lord, there's a lot of people in this world today that is going by the way of the world. They're doing things that makes me stand back and scratch my head. But I pray that we be true to you and your word. We ask that you would help us to be determined. Thank you again for all that you've done. Now I pray, God, if there be anyone here tonight that's lost and undone in sin, Lord, if they see that they can be saved, may their heart be convicted, but I pray they'll come and they'll say, Lord, be merciful to me and trust Jesus to the salvation of their soul. We pray it in the name above every name. Amen. Let's all stand.